RSSB stand on the China-Indian war?
I don't think we condemned it. I think we had two different opinions even on that in the party. Two different opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was one set of opinion that thought it was not in the interest of the world working for China to carry out border work for borders and expansion of borders. That it was detrimental to the... But on the other hand, we were not wanting to say who is the aggressor in the war, except in asking both sides to necessarily make peace instead of... In that sense only, because we do not want to say, you know, who is the aggressor, is it China or is it India? Because that is also a question of the history of which we do not know in certain places. When you see Chinese writing, you find that Indian soldiers have crossed what has traditionally been... In some places you find what the marking line is, the British marking line, which was not really the physical boundary. So we didn't participate in that question of...
Regarding this plantation...
But I know, personally, I hate the point of view, I could say my point of view. I personally thought that just as much as today's row between China and the Soviet Union is very much very detrimental to us. The socialist movements in all countries. That war itself was detrimental to all the countries round about India, China, and
Southeast Asia.
Because the capitalist class always has said, particularly about the communists, that the Red Army will march. And today the aspiration of all peoples is to be free, independent of Russia, of America, of England. We would like, any country would like to. So that the capitalist class played on it. And this was one of the most wonderful opportunities for the reactionary persons in Indonesia, in Burma, to say, look, we are so close. And tomorrow, today is India. Tomorrow, our turn. So that in that sense, we were. And there was a definite, we didn't want to voice it and participate, sides in this fight. But we wanted peace. We wanted peace. Mm-hmm. We wanted peace.
Coming back to the Indian issue itself,
I was telling you about this worker. So India started, Nehru started this, and on the basis of that, the Indian worker was organized by a traditionally Indian leadership, which looked to not sit on, but always to the Charka, Gandhi, Nehru. And even today, even in 1965, have you seen the leaflet? You should see that leaflet. I have a copy of it. I'll show you.
Who's leaflet?
Tundamans.
Mm-hmm.
Leaflet to the Indian worker. Ceylon. India first. Ceylon. Gandhi, Nehru. And in India you find the Indian flag. Ceylon is wrapped up in the Chinese dragon. In Tamil, if you want to save your country, vote for the elephant. Now which is your country? Elephant. Now what is your country? It's a moot point. Which is, what are you looking to? Is your country Ceylon? Huh? Or is it your country? Is your country India? Obviously, why should you have the national flag, Nehru and Gandhi? So that the vote was also taken on the basis of the fact to defend India, you got to have the elephant in power.
Yes.
So they built up a very powerful Indian, traditionally Indian.
So it's really communalism
that we have. Our union is third highest. That first comes to the one is overwhelmingly large. Then comes Aziz's. Because Aziz associated more and more with the left groups, and therefore he's got. But even when it comes to, he again, that is also the, because to survive he has to.
Mm-hmm.
He has to say we can't have. He must give the whole citizenship thing that Tundaman voices because otherwise he's thrown out.
And isn't it a fact that you didn't have the card, that is an Indian Tamil card, to work among the labourers?
What do you mean, Indian Tamil?
I mean, Tony Anthony Pillay is a Ceylon Tamil, but you didn't have anybody who could...
No, we had. We didn't use Tony at all in the Indian estate. We had our, the same type of person that we had, but we didn't have a leader.
Yeah, I mean the leader.
We didn't have a leader, either of the makeup of Aziz or even of that stature. We certainly didn't have. Because after all, those are the only two people even if you know, you see now. Unless you send a person to Senate and then, like Annamalai.
Mm.
Annamalai would normally, nobody knew who else he was. Once you put him into the Senate, you got there. Oh, he has become a leader of the Indian workers, just as well as Annamalai. But otherwise, nobody knew where he existed, even.
Hasn't your position also been somewhat ambivalent in that 47 you got a fair amount of support from them in areas where there were no Congress candidate?
Yeah.
And you were always for this Workers of the World Unite business. And therefore, you wanted them given citizenship, I mean, voting rights. But now, I wonder what your stand is on their voting rights.
Our voting rights, we have accepted this mandate. Because we were the first original person to ask that no immigration should be allowed in 1936. You had the resolution in the parliament of NM and Philip saying that you bring 1 lakh of Indian workers, you are even bringing 5 lakhs in. If you bring 10,000, you are even bringing 50,000 in because their parents and their families coming, 1 to 5 always. So that immediately this must stop. Because this means that a vast problem is coming to our country of stateless persons. Is going to be, within your country, you are creating a person who has no loyalty to your country. So on that basis, we want to stop immigration. And at that time, we advocated a certain period of residency, which was relevant to that time, you see. And whenever the we didn't take up the issue, understand when it came up, you see. Now, even now, if we went to the country, with Mrs. Bandaranaike's pact at the time, because we didn't have the time in the sense that we were thrown out, that ticket just after the pact was signed. But if we had sufficient propaganda throughout the states, it would not have been easy for Tondaban to get away with the propaganda that he's having now. Because I can assure you that even if you go down to Norway, you'll find there are more than 3,000-4,000 persons who are ready to go now.
Go back?
Yeah. But Tondaban is not allowed. He's using it as a political weapon. As he tried to use this as a voting element in India, he went across there and he asked for land in one mass for the Indian workers, either in the Assamese area or in the hills there, Ganap and Bangalore, that term. And they refused, because there's no point to concentration of population, which will be a political weapon in the hands of one individual. So they said, we will give you land here and there. But the Tondaban said to all this, I will take them, I will plant tea there, I will the know-how that these people have, and I will see that you suffer, you're taking away. See? But there is a very, this question of 400 a year is very easy. If they are allowed to choose them, great. And all that you have to give them is their provident fund and facilities to get across.
With regard to the trade unions themselves in Colombo and series of strikes who led in 46, 47 and then in later years, would it be correct to say that you wanted to take a militant stand partly to get more support and partly because this is in the Marxist tradition?
No, practically all. That's again popular propaganda against us. We sort of organized strikes in order to create disaffection and whatnot.
No.
Those are political strikes. That means we have, like, for instance, against the Hartal, then against this, what do you call it, emergency, and that act, to do with that. Like that, we had political, like January 8th, that organized action. But other than that, it was trade union action decided by the workers, and if we were in leadership there, it was not anything to, in terms of governmental, to sort of discredit a government or to do away with it, to defeat a government.
No, I was not thinking of it in that sense. But since there was competition with, there were several SSP groups, one thing, and competition with the CP, was it felt that if you tried to be moderate, you would lose support and become workers?
No, it was actually, we were trying our best as a movement, trade union movement, to try to get one trade union say that. Our party, NSSP, is gone. And we wanted, as far as possible, to get one union for one workplace idea.
A sort of united front?
United front, in the trade union sphere. Because our real idea was to develop these trade unions as future methods of, as I call it, an extra parliamentary activity on the basis of understanding the economics of the country and to be ready in order to defend what politically we can gain by coming parliamentarily even to power. You see, so that to find them organized in an organized fashion, supporting you when you do something, does not mean that we would envisage that once we come into power that they should not be any trade unions, because we consider those trade unions to be the only weapons by which they can bargain for their own self-interest and their own. There was no competitive strikes as such.
46, 47, I was wondering whether...
No, 46, 47, those were the strikes, a big strike wave throughout the country, asking for trade union rights, rights of affiliation, association, you see. As a matter of fact, the railway workers were asking for trade union rights for government work, which were not there. Because it's all a process, if you read the documented history of the growth of the trade union movement, it's been very, very slow in Islam. And then when the UNP came in, it again tried to say government trade unions can't have outsiders, government trade unions can't affiliate with outside trade unions. So that all along, it was a... It became, had a political aspect. So you have the action coming of one of course, gave very strong incentive to trade unions. Very strong incentive. He accepted the idea of federations.
But really, this is funny, when you look at it, as according to the law, government service trade unions are not supposed to have political affiliations, but in fact they do have. Isn't that correct?
You are not allowed to have outsiders holding office, that's all. Those fellows who hold office are generally, you find, are pro-ILSSP, are pro-CP, are pro...
Is there a set of people very strong in the trade
union? Not in the working class trade unions, but they have a section of the Rajya Lipikara Sangha.
Pardon?
Rajya Lipikara Sangha, that's a... They have a section there. But otherwise, they're not so very strong. Mm-hmm. They do have a section of unions going only on the basis of, you know, single and...
Hasn't this nationalization in a sense hindered you, because immediately the nationalized industry becomes part of the government sector, and isn't it more difficult for you to organize unions in the government sector than in the private sector?
No, nationalization has not hindered us at all. Excepting that, as usual, everywhere you find by tremendous amount, number of trade unions growing, even there.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Proliferation.
So even there now, you in the harbour, you find so many, all political parties have trade unions. In CTB, all political parties have trade unions. Only now, of course, the government is using and saying that if you want to remain in CTB, you must join the National Employees Union. Any newcomer, all the new fellows who are coming, unless they join the National Employees Union in CTB, will not be able to even work.
So, what does that mean? Once they join that union?
Then they are given work as CTB employees.
So
a man who's chosen has to show his CTB card, his National Employees card.
So National Employees Union is controlled? UNP.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mm.
And in that way they are trying to discourage all other unions in those places. So much so that you know that in the CTB, they are not allowing us to take our membership dues from the salary as we used to do, salary abstract. That was a concession that Bandar Naik gave, which gave a great strength to unions, because as you know anywhere, a union membership is difficult to collect. It's small, and people forget. Then when it comes to 6 months or years, it is not, they are not capable of paying it together. So, that was 3 rupees a year. That's the maximum they pay, 3 rupees a year. So that when it comes to even 150, and you, they find it difficult to pay because they've got other commitments. So Bandar Naik has a salary abstract was a great thing.
Now that has been taken
away. Taken away, the CTB. Only the National Employees Union is allowed to take money on the salary abstract. Not any other union.
After
harbour you still allow, they haven't changed in the harbour culture.
In the harbour, didn't Philip conduct a small sort of vendetta against you in the 56-58 period?
Philip, when he was in the government,
yes, as a minister.
Was instrumental in advising Bandaranaike to be very strict towards strikes led by the NSS. And he made his unions more stooge unions of the government at the time.
But weren't there lots of port strikes in that time?
Yes, during that time. And he port strike. No, our unions.
Oh.
Our unions struck and Bandaranaike was adamant and refused to. As a result, the strikes went on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Though basically, it is by our union striking that we got what we call the standby wage and which the harbour worker has today. But he didn't have then.
60-61, those big strikes just before the coup attempt.
Yes.
Were those political strikes?
There was a political strike as well.
You were going to call a general strike,
March
I
think. March 3rd. A general strike was being called, which was not very successful due to the government unions and
emergency.
Yes, emergency and the SNP unions became strike breakers. And there were political strikes as well as for political reasons strikes for.
No, were you
emergency, hoping, once again emergency.
Were you hoping to bring
the Public Service Regulations Act?
Were you hoping to bring the government down?
No.
Because
not at all.
Mm-hmm.
That is what, naturally what always a radio used and what not you see.
No, no.
And is Bandaranaike's famous phrase?
No.
Ene Pereira, killed my husband without killing him, Nomara Mabu, which has been used even today. Well, what Ms. Bandaranaike really meant was that we really troubled her husband a tremendous amount and he irritated him so much so that a vast energy of his life had to be spent in certain styles. But it was misinterpreted, a new content given to. It's even used now even with election.
No, I raised this because a friend of mine in the last, he said that, oh no, we are going to bring the government down. So I just wondering whether that.
No, there was no perspective of bringing the government down by the United States. Not even to bring it the discomfiture or embarrassment at all. But we really wanted to make a success of the public regulations, anti-emergency public regulations strike. Because we wanted to take a remove from the book.
I think I'm keeping you, am I not?
No, no, I'm free. I mean, only when my car comes that I have to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free today. I have no work to do. Sunday I'm completely off. I have my ward work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Generally I have, next week of course I won't be because I have public meetings are. Next week I think Dr. Vikram Singh has a meeting of West on the 6th.
Yes, I was going to ask you about electioneering today as compared, say, with 47-52. What would you say were the differences?
Electioneering under the when the UNP government, under the UNP government of today, is very different. In the sense that it is not really a democratic election.
Yeah.
But the whole forces of the state are used to it. I mean, in the sense of, for instance, which was never done by any government in the past, by even the previous UNP governments. Maybe that the composition of the leadership of the present UNP governments are different. But they certainly utilize state machinery.
That's recently?
Completely for elections.
What state machinery?
Well, you have the CTP. So the ministers take all the youths and give them all the interviews and medical checkups saying, I'm going to be taken to the CTP. Now even in Agalavata, 200 fellows. The medical inspection, which means 200 families of their immediate families plus so many other families related and interrelated. Which will amount to a connection of about 2,500 votes, are now expecting these 200 jobs for their youngsters and they will vote elephant. Then immediately opening of textile centers. And now for the whole island you don't buy the sarongs and the saris. Previous government bought and subsidized. And then got the traders when they gave quotas to take a quota of the sarongs. Take a quota of the saris. Dispose of them as you will, but from us you have to take the service price. All that is done away with by the present government. Now you make a sarong, you must find your own custom. You find, make a sari, you find your own custom. But during the election time, they collected all the things and they made. And took them away to the cooperative union or whatever they call it, Sangha. And you go and tell them that this matter is all nonsense, well, the island is not done. That's immaterial because in their place it's done. You become the liar or not. So whilst for the, where the female section of the population was concerned, they used that. Government machinery for opening up trade of textile centers, improving of existing textile centers so that more girls can come into those textile centers. The CTB and other, mostly CTB, and SSC boys, SSC girls and boys. Now, in the context of an examination held and 150,000 persons in the Gaul district making applications and only 207 being chosen, you are taking all the names of the SSC pass boys and girls of the area, promising them jobs.
But isn't this the sort of thing that backfires? Because obviously now
it's backfire only after the election is over.
After. So it will affect them later.
Next time. But they are not interested in the next time. They'll cock up something else next time. Or perhaps they might even put some fellows in. Perhaps if they are interested in the same candidate, the candidate will insist that, you see, I don't want to be a liar, I am going to stay here. You must put in certain fellows.
No, even the previous...
That we do not know yet, but we had to find out with.
Previous UNP governments...
Previous UNP governments, they organized on election day various little clashes and police to be on their side and drive away other voters on election day.
What about...
Didn't so much, but more religious propaganda was done in those elections. Then now.
47-56. Now I was thinking like little tricks like sending thugs on the mountain paths and waiting naked and things like that.
That happened in... that depends not on the party in power so much.
Mm-hmm.
That depends on how those particular individuals carry out their thuggery. I know that was very strong in NMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Where they broke down, you know, A-dandas, where you find you got to cross over, you had to cross over on a one plank, one tree truck. Then we broke this.
36?
No, in 1965.
65
and 60 was much worse, 60 July.
Mm-hmm.
Same UNP candidate, there was no other candidate. But that depends on each candidate in Osaka. But now it's a state coming in that sense, at the moment. All our ministers now, never in the history of anything has ministers like C.P.D. Singh gone and said, look, you are all temporary workers in this colony, I mean in this agricultural farm, I'm all making them all permanent. Must vote elephant. Huh? Then I'm going to
open this.
Open. I'm going to give you this agricultural. I'm going to give you this land now. Immediately land and the deed. In Agrawatta. Now deeds have not been given even to Padavia yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is some 15 years ago. And one theme song of all the MPs in the parliament is, why don't you give the peasant his deed?
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't know when he dies who should take over. And the government is going to take back and allocate it to somebody else. Therefore, why don't you? Only if you notice, if you read Hansard.
Mm-hmm.
But here you gave them, this is what I mean by state machinery being used.
No, but wasn't that complaint made against SLFP regarding 65 to Grama Sevakas?
No. Grama Sevakas, that some Grama Sevakas worked for the SLFP, excepting like that. There was no mass use of Grama Sevakas in the sense that these people are using them now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, because now you know what they do. If you don't use them, if you don't work for them, you are transferred, knocked out. Now even in Agrawatta, in Dorangaslanda, inspectors were transferred. Now here, in Agrawatta, DROs were transferred. And DROs whom the public liked very much. Not because they were selective or pro-lift, but because they did their job of work.
How would you explain this loss of votes in Agrawatta?
Well, many factors. One is our own campaign was not, as my criticism of it was, that we did not make it a point to see that every home was visited. Not by the candidate, it's impossible for the candidate to give a short spell, but groups of us going to each house. It wasn't done effectively. That's a day, that's a normal propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
One. Number two, we didn't show organized, our own organized strength of the red. So that after the 1965 election, repression has been very heavy in Agrawatta. Anil whilst Anil, with along with Anil, 30 fellows lost citizenship rights or the right to do anything in this election. More than 60 fellows just today or yesterday were involved in some cases and they were all released. I mean, listen, there were hundreds of cases filed by the UNP, by this particular candidate against Anil's supporters, creating a region of terror. And they were very frightened because the UNP has proved is governing by showing force. It's not governing because it has a tacit will or because it's light. It's governing on the basis of fear.
How are you
teachers
going?
Have been, January 8th, thousands of persons are out. So on that basis, people accepting really the vanguard of the vanguard in the sense of we don't have two rules as to whether we live or die. That is the thoroughly politicated, politically alive persons. But the majority are not that. Those persons think, what if I am transferred from here to Jaffna? As was done. If you go there, you will see in Agalavati, miserable places where wife is in one place, husband in another, where heads of schools have been knocked out of a job for participating in politics. Complete revenge, creating a feeling of fear to come out and work.
I thought you would have a reaction and more determination.
No, not because the government is in power.
Mm-hmm.
So the attitude is today you come and you go, you leave us to these fellows, at the mercy of these fellows, this government, a government official, this particular person who is, virtually he was an MP for the area from 65, not only. This particular man who contested Koyvin, he transferred men, he appointed men, he got jobs for men, he got land allocations, he got the textile sites which Anil has shifted from that place to another, so that he was virtual. So that is an upbeat fight for Koyvin, particularly with the question of caste being brought up by the United National Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I met the mayor and told him, I told the mayor, look, you are shouting on the from the housetops for national unity. And then you go and ask tribal, and use tribal propaganda. You are going about community. How can you elect a person from a lower community and worship him as MP of your area? Mantri, you see, you got to go and worship him. How can you? And the electorate is a petty bourgeois electorate. It's not a working class electorate. It's a petty bourgeois electorate where they have half an acre of paddy,
mm-hmm.
a little house, and that sort of respectability that even the upper class doesn't have, you know, that conservative sense of respectability. And they wouldn't talk about caste, but when it comes to a question of being put to them, you respectable people, how can you do this?
That's the line that they took.
Oh, completely.
So it affected the...
Very strongly.
But
very strongly.
Looking at it another way, this is a 90% Goigama electorate.
93%.
All right, yes, I know, I mean...
Yeah.
Isn't it a mark of the importance of parties that as many voted for Koyvin as did?
It's true. I agree with you that so many persons voted is a sign of the fact that Anil had worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
He had created for himself a very good place there. You see? And despite that, the question of parties today have reached that standard of acceptance as a party system. But you had that. But, I mean, it also was an uphill fight despite it, because a complete political vote.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. But I also say that, again, the youth, the new vote,
yes.
was more UOP.
As in 65?
Even in 65, yes. But I always say that the UOP, you know, normally in 65 one can understand it, because youth is normally expected to be against the status quo, you see, so that you expect it in 65. And it was the first time that they had the opportunity of exercising the 18-year-old vote. We didn't know how it's going to be exercised. It was given to them. So, in 65, when they exercised it, when they acted in the way of, they were being told by the press from morning, now, noon, night, look, Mr. Bandhanaik has been not able to solve you, unemployment. This is what it was, this is what it is now. We can. And the UNP, they grew up, as I always say, you know, on the platform. When I excuse them, I say, you grew up during the time when the government was in power as an SNP for 9 years. I mean, to vote at 18, in 1965? What will be your age in 1956? So that you grew up during the time you are conscious, from 6 to 18, during the time of the SNF. So you are against what it did to you, you see. Because you are now reading propaganda by the left also, and by the right also, against government. So after all, we were in coalition only for a few months. So we also have been criticizing the UN SNF for a lack of proper socialist program.
How do you say that the youth voted against you? How do you know?
You could see that in the general movement of age groups.
The people who came to your meeting?
Yeah.